You have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. How many of you brought your Bibles to church tonight? Amen. Could you lift that word up? Let me see. We got a good show of Bibles here on your iPad, laptop. Amen. Good paperback, whatever you got. Amen. Good word of the Lord. You better hold on to that. That's the only thing that's going to last. Amen. Everything else is on shifting sand, but the word of God, that alone shall last. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." Let's flip over one more chapter to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord," Paul is saying, "beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Amen. Won't you lay your Bibles down? Let's reach out to the Lord and ask Him to bless us tonight. Jesus, we need the good word of the Lord to touch our hearts. God, we want to be fed by the manna that is from heaven. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. God, I want to be a prisoner, not of this world, God, but I want to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Take me, Jesus. Use me, God. I'm at your service. I'm at your will, God. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, you can be seated. Amen. "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." I want to talk to us a few minutes about soldiers, sailors, and prisoners. Could you say that? Soldiers, sailors, and prisoners. Paul was a prisoner of Rome, but when he was writing to Ephesians, he said, "I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ." There's a big difference between being a prisoner for Rome and being a prisoner for Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 27. We're going to take our lesson there tonight. We're going to do this kind of old school. Back on Hollis Road in Macon, Georgia, where I was grew up, this is how they did it. They'd take and open the Bible to a chapter and they'd walk down it. And I'm going to try to do that tonight. It's been on my to-do list for a long time. So I'm going to discover what is in Acts chapter 27. About sailors, soldiers, and prisoners. Verse 1 says, "And it was determined that we should sail into Italy. And they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band." And skip down to verse 8. I'm going to start my clock here. I'm going to try to do this in 30 minutes. Verse 8 says, "And hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, where nigh whereunto was the city of Lasea." Verse 9, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, 'Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives.'" Verse 10. "This is coming from a man who is a prisoner, physically a prisoner of Roman. But the context of this lesson tonight, and in this context of this scripture, Paul is demonstrating for us what it means to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ, which is in total contrast. What this world is teaching in you today is that you have all liberty to do whatever that you want. You have great liberty to do whatever feels good. That's not according to Scripture. I want to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I want His bonds of love to wrap around me, to guide my all my thoughts, my intentions, my everything. I wish I could read this whole chapter and tell you the whole story, but so you know the context, but we're just going to wade into it. So what does it mean to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ? How can you tell if you're a prisoner of Jesus Christ? There's a checklist that I use, and I'm going to show it to you tonight, that when I get out of balance, I can come back and find my center point. How do I become a prisoner and not a sailor and not a soldier? I didn't go into Webster's dictionary for this lesson, and that's fine. I like Webster's. I didn't go into the Greek and Hebrew. I don't understand that anyway. And I didn't search Google for the definition of prisoner, sailor, and soldier. I got my all my definitions right here in chapter 27 of Acts. And that's enough for me. The good Holy Bible is just enough for me. I would rather have the Bible than Google. I'd rather have the Bible than Webster's Dictionary. I know I don't talk good proper English sometimes, and I'll slip up and say a little ain't. But I'd rather have Jesus and his holy word, because that alone is going to lead me through this life. Paul was physically in Roman custody, placed in the care of Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, which was the band of Roman soldiers. Paul was a prisoner of Rome, but when Paul wrote Ephesians, he said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. It's one thing to be a prisoner of this world. It's another thing to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You're going to be a prisoner of the world, or you're going to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You obviously don't have a choice in the matter. It's either that you follow Jesus, or this world will take you where it wants you to go. You are not your own. Unless you have been baptized in the name of Jesus, then you have been bought with a price. Then you've been purchased. You've been bought by one that can save you, that can lead you, that can guide you. Let him wrap his handcuffs around you and arrest your heart. Amen. Jesus, help me. I need to settle down, y'all. Just give me a thumbs up. Don't holler at me. Just give me a thumbs up, and I'm just going to walk through this. A prisoner is not a soldier, and a prisoner is not a sailor. And we can understand what a prisoner is by understanding what a sailor is and what a soldier is. So let's discover these attributes. Verse 10, Acts 27, verse 10. Paul said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion, which is a soldier, believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul. Notice the centurion, the soldier, believed what Paul said, but he believed more what the master and the owner said, other than what Paul said. Here's the first point about soldiers. Soldiers may believe the prisoners. They may believe the man of God, but they believe the masters and the owners more than they do the preacher. Soldiers regard rank and positions of authority higher than divine inspiration of the Holy Ghost. A soldier is going to say, what can a prisoner tell me more than what the master and the owner says? Be careful when you start believing the master and the owner more than the chief prisoner, the pastor. It's okay to listen to what the master says. It's okay to listen to what the owner says. But don't believe them over what the man of God has to say in your lives. That's the difference between a prisoner and a soldier. Now, you can take this context of what I'm ministering to you tonight here in the church. You can apply it in your school. You can apply it in your job. You can apply it in your family. Everything. Everything I'm going to talk to you tonight, you can apply it across the board, okay? And so I'm just going to throw these points out, and you've got to apply them to your life, right? Amen. How do you know when you might be a soldier? When you believe the government more than the preacher. When you believe the news media. I don't care if it's CNN or Fox. When you believe them more than you do the preacher. There's nothing wrong with listening to the news, but you can't listen to them more than what the good word of God says. This will triumph all. Everything this world has to offer, and this good word of the Lord, it triumphs it all. I'm going to skip some of that. Verse 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence, if by any means they might attain unto Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete that lieth toward the south. Notice in this verse, the more part advised. The next point I'd like to bring out about soldiers and sailors is they make up the majority. And they outvote the prisoners. Just a check. If you're on the majority, be careful. You may be with the soldiers and the sailors and not with the prisoners. Especially when they start giving advice. Soldiers and sailors love to get the majority around them and give the advice, especially when they have the majority. As long as soldiers and sailors have the majority and they agree, they are ready to advise you of what you should and should not do. And it doesn't matter what the preacher says. Doesn't matter what the prisoner said. They're in the majority. They're giving advice. Just a check there. They give their advice, especially when their circumstances are not commodious. When the situation is uncomfortable, you can count on soldiers and sailors to offer their opinion on what you should be doing and what you should not be doing. Thank y'all for all those silent amens. I love that. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart. While prisoners have a walk and a prayer life with the Almighty, soldiers and sailors make the decisions based on what feels good in the moment. You cannot be making decisions on what you feel like. Because your feelings come and your feelings go. One day it's sunshine and one day it's raining. One day there's storms and one day there's bright sunshiny clouds. It's not about what you feel, uncomfortable or in comfort. It's about what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? What does God say when I'm on my knees praying? What has my pastor been preaching? It really doesn't matter what it feels like. What does the Word of God say? The next point about soldiers and sailors is they offer their advice on suppositions. Look at verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly. And I lost my time clock. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete, supposing that they have attained their purpose. All soldiers and sailors need is a soft wind to blow. It doesn't matter if it comes from down south. As long as they feel a little tingle, oh, that's a sign we ought to set sail. They think they have obtained their purpose because a little breeze blew across them. Do you know anybody like that? Soldiers and sailors? Woo, did you feel that? I just got chill bumps all up and down my spines. It's time to move. Show me where that's in the Bible. Now, there is some feeling. There is some exuberance. There is some joy. There is some emotion that comes with feeling God. But you can't make your life's decision based on a feeling of a little wind that blows. There's winds of doctrine that are wrecking this world. You better be careful what you're listening to, what you're feeling after. There's only one thing that you can count on, and that is this great Word of God that's forever settled in heaven. I could just feel it in the atmosphere. I knew it was time to make a change. It was time to move. You may be a soldier. You may be a sailor. Let me ask you a question. Did you stop and ask the prisoner? Did you even consider asking the chief prisoner before you made your move? Or did you make your decision based only on a soft wind that blew out of the south? The difference between soldiers, sailors, and prisoners. Verse 14. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called, I like to say Eurocladon, some say Euryclidon. So I'm going to say Euryclidon. Is that okay? Euryclidon. Not long after these soldiers and sailors felt the soft wind, they felt something entirely different. It wasn't a soft wind anymore. This thing was rocking their little boat. You know what? One of the points about being a prisoner, prisoners know that soft winds are not signals to sail. Prisoners know that soft winds are signals of Euryclidon coming. Maybe there is someone here tonight and you're facing a tempestuous storm because of the decisions you have made. Because you thought that a soft wind was blowing your way, you made a decision to set sail, and now times have changed and the wind is rocking your boat. I tell you what I would do. I'd go find the prisoner. I'd get on my knees and I'd talk to Jesus. I'd get on my prayer closet and say, God, I have made a wrong move. Help me get back to the safe haven where I was. Verse 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, look at this. We let her drive. Next point about sailors. They are quick to take their hands off the wheel when the going gets tough. They won't control as long as everything is easy and their soft winds are blowing. But you get out in the sea with a sailor and he can't control it anymore, hands off the wheel. And you done let him drive your boat. And he's saying, hey, we're just going to let her drive because the wind. Do y'all know the master of the wind? Do you know the master of the waves? His name is Jesus. He's the only man that has stepped his feet upon the waves and said, peace, be still. Man, I'm trying to not get called away. Sailors, they're quick to take their hands off the wheel. Verse 16, let's look at that. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. Verse 17, and when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. Next point about sailors. Even when the going gets rough, sailors still focus on the ship and they have still haven't gone to the preacher yet. They're going to turn to their helps instead of the man that told them not to go where they were going in the first place. They're going to turn to their helps. Sailors know how everything works and they understand what is supposed to happen. They will do anything to save their ship before they ever ask the chief prisoner for any advice. I know we're all independent, and I'm probably the worst one about this. I don't like taking advice from anybody. There's just that old nature that's in me. But you let a good word of the Lord come across like a Sunday night and you get on your face and you repent and you talk to God. You let that word change you. You give heed over into another spirit, not that old messed up spirit that we're all about. That's the difference. Every now and then we slide over into the seat of the sailor or the seat of the soldier. But I keep trying to find my way back. I want to be a prisoner. I want to be
Paul says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and I keep finding myself in the seat of the sailor or in the seat of the soldier. I want to find my way back to being just a prisoner. Since sailors are sailors, they know more than anyone else about how things operate in the sea. They know when to leave, and they know when to stay. They know how to fix the ship when it breaks up. Why do they know all this? Because they trust in their helps. Verse 17, they used helps undergirding the ship. Sailors have a remedy for everything. One of the greatest lessons I've learned in life is I don't have to know everything. I just have to know the one that knows everything. As long as I've got King Jesus, I don't need anybody else. I've got the one that holds it all. These sailors, they use their helps. It makes them think that they've got it all together. And it's their world, and you and I are just in their ship. And they're using their helps. Prisoners, on the other hand, they are like the psalmist David wrote in Psalms 121 and 2. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and the earth. That's the first one I'm going to turn to when I need help. I'm going to turn to Jesus. He's the one that put it all together. He's the one that established it on nothing. He's the one that's going to wrap it all up when it's done. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Soldiers, sailors, and prisoners. Next point about sailors. When the going gets really bad, they will start throwing everything overboard. Verse 18. Being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Here's something to be careful for when you're dealing with sailors. They are quick to change what they place value in. They're quick to change what's important in their lives. Their value system is quick, out of balance. What it was so important for them to put on the ship and go across the sea now has no importance, and they're throwing it overboard. This is one of the main differences between prisoners and sailors. Sailors pack a lot of unnecessary things on the boat. Prisoners, they don't get on the boat with anything but a promise. When the sailors all of a sudden changed their minds about the importance of the cargo, it was the sailors that started throwing things overboard. Look at verse 18. It says, they, the writer of Acts 27 said, they lightened the ship. We'll talk about in a little while, they said, we threw some things. But right here, they're saying, they. Reason why the writer said that, the writer was a prisoner beside Paul. And he was looking and said, they're throwing things overboard. Reason why they were throwing things overboard, because the prisoners didn't have anything. They stepped on the boat because they're prisoners. They had a promise to go to the other side. They had their destiny already planned. They didn't need any baggage. They didn't need any luggage. They didn't need any cargo. I'm here to tell you, life will be so much easier if you just let go of some things. You really don't need it. Where you and I are going, there's nothing in this world that you really need to carry with you. I can tell when I'm getting into the seat of the sailor when I start placing too much value on things down here. I have to start checking on some things. Yeah, we have to take care of life. Yeah, there's some things we have to take care of. But really, when it all boils down to it, I want to travel light. I really don't want a lot of baggage hanging on me. The reason prisoners didn't have anything to throw overboard, because they didn't take anything on board with them. They travel light. Sailors and soldiers, they have all the baggage. They have all the luggage and the cargo stuff. They carry around with them all the time. This stuff is precious to them. But when the storm comes up, all of a sudden, all of that stuff means nothing to them. Y'all, It doesn't matter where you're at in life. Either you're coming out of a storm, you're going into a storm, or you're in the middle of a storm. Storms are going to happen in your life. When you're in the midst of the storm, what the last thing you need is a bunch of luggage dragging you down. Go ahead and get that stuff off of you and become a prisoner of Jesus Christ and say, hey, only thing I need is a promise. Get me to the other side. I just want to make it to the other side. And I can do that as long as I got Jesus. As long as I got the prisoner mentality, I can make it to the other side. Hallelujah. Prisoners don't have a lot of attachments to this world. About the only thing prisoners carry is a promise. The promise that they're going to make it to the other side. This was determined in verse 1 of chapter 27. Paul said, and when it was determined that I was going to make it. I was going to stand before Caesar. There is a destiny. When you realize that when you step foot in this church, when you step foot in this sanctuary, when you got the Holy Ghost, your destiny was determined. You're going to make it. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. There's nothing that's going to stop you from getting to that destination. As long as you enter and you stay in the frame, I'm just a prisoner. I'm just a prisoner. I don't have any attachments in this world. Just take me to the other side. The only thing about you prisoners, we have to live with these sailors and soldiers. We're all on the same ship together. God stuck us all here together. We can't just isolate ourselves. We got to work with the sailors and the soldiers, but just don't become one. Hold on to your promise. The promise is to the prisoners. And if the sailors and the soldiers will follow the prisoners, the sailors and the soldiers will be saved also. As long as the prisoners hold on to their Savior and hold on to their promise. Galatians 6 and 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's a promise you can hold on to. You may not have anything else in this world but a promise. You hold on to your promise, you will make it to the other side. And you won't have to worry about throwing anything overboard. Look next at verse 19. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. There's several things in this verse. Number one, it didn't take long. It was just 3 days. And these sailors were dumping everything overboard. What are you carrying around with you that in 3 days really doesn't matter? Really? Is that all that it took? Just 3 days in a storm and your whole world is turned upside down? You got to throw everything overboard? Just travel light. 3 days, 14 days, 100 days, couple of years, you stay in the storm. Hey, I'm still here. It's so much easier to bear the storms when you ain't got a lot of stuff. Here's a warning sign for you. If your value systems change in the midst of the storm, after only 3 days and all of a sudden your world is turned upside down and things that you used to love you now hate, whatever you had before you went in the storm is probably not what you need to keep you through the storm. Because storms are going to come and test you. And it's better to get a grasp of this Word of God and the good Holy Ghost and the fulfillment that God has got me. I may not have a lot in this world, but I've got Jesus, and that's all I need. And I believe in Him. No matter what comes and goes, I've got a promise. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to make it. Everything's going to be all right. I know what the end is. I'm going to stand at that last day. I will see my Savior. My value system ain't going to change me because I've been in a storm 3 days. It doesn't matter about the storm. It's my response to the storm. I'm holding on through the storm. Why? Because I've got a promise. Verse 19, And the third day we cast out with our own hands. Look at how the writer changed then. He says, we cast out with our own hands. I've always loved this verse. Verse 18, he says, they. Now he says, we cast out with our own hands. What were they throwing out? I can imagine the sailors and the soldiers, they were busy throwing out all this tackling of the ship, which is insane to me. Why would you ever throw out the tackling of the ship? But these are sailors. And some of y'all are trusting sailors. Yeah, they may own the ship. They may be masters of the sea. But when they get in trouble, they throw out the tackling. It's insane. But anyway. So the sailors and the soldiers are throwing over the tackling of the ship, the stuff that keeps the ship together, the things that operate the ship. They're throwing that overboard. And the prisoners are just standing there because they ain't got nothing to throw over. And the sailors come to the prisoners and they said, hey, don't just stand there empty-handed. Help us throw the tackling over. And this is when the prisoners step in. The prisoners help the sailors throw the tackling overboard. Why did the prisoners do that? Because what the sailors were using for help really wasn't a help anyway. I said what the sailors and the soldiers were using for helps really wasn't helping anyway. It just dawned on them that they shouldn't have left. And so they were trying to give their little sacrifices, and the sailor and the prisoners were saying, hey, I'll help you throw that overboard. You're the one that got me in this situation. It's not helping you. Let me help you get rid of some of this stuff so that we can get out of this predicament that we're in. The prisoners will always help sailors get rid of their junk. I said prisoners will always help sailors get rid of their junk. Because prisoners don't want your junk, and we don't want you to have your junk, so we're going to help you throw your stuff overboard. Because what you've been trusting in has got us all in trouble. And we wish you that you would trust what we trust in, so we're going to help you get rid of your junk so we can make it through this storm. Man, I'm staying too long in there. They said, we cast it out with our own hands, the tackling of the ship, those helps that wasn't helping anyway. Prisoners know where their help comes from, and it doesn't come from the ship. You see, this is another point later on down. God can save you with the ship or without the ship. I said, God can save you with the ship or without the ship. It doesn't matter to God. You're destined to make it to the other side. He can save you regardless. He's just trying to knock some sense in some sailors and soldiers' head. Here's another point about being a prisoner. When prisoners are caught up in the same storm that disobedient sailors are caught up in, a prisoner is good about holding his peace. You need to get this point right here. A prisoner can go a long time without saying anything. I'm amazed at how long it took Paul to say something in this story. Look at verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. It was almost 14 days, and Paul didn't say a word. Here's the point about prisoners. When a prisoner speaks, you had better obey and listen to him. And if the prisoner isn't speaking, you better do what you can to get him talking. I'm going to say that thing again. I said, if the preacher is not speaking to you, you had better get him talking. You cannot go too long without the man of God saying something in your heart, saying something in your soul to save you. And you keep rocking along 10, 14 days and nothing's touching you. Hey, you better be knocking on a prayer room door somewhere and saying, hey, I got to have a word. Your voice has gone silent way too long because I need to hear a voice from the prisoner. Finally, after almost 14 days, Paul, the chief prisoner, finally breaks his silence. Verse 22, he says, now I exhort you, watch this, be of good cheer. I love prisoners. I really, really wish I could be a prisoner. The audacity to stand right there, bold face, and all of them. The worst storm in their life, and they have thrown everything overboard. They're at their wits' end, and he says, first thing out of his mouth, be of good cheer. Not cry and have a pity party. Not pass around the Kleenex box. He said, hey, be of good cheer. The difference between a soldier and a sailor and a prisoner is a prisoner will always bring cheer to the situation, no matter how bleak the storm. Y'all not getting the point. Jesus, help me. Verse 23 says, For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Says it again, twice. Y'all cheer up. Be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. Here are some quick points about prisoners. Prisoners know how to bring cheer. Prisoners have encounters with angels. God speaks to prisoners. Prisoners know what their destiny is because they have a prayer life with the Almighty God. Their destiny is not wrapped up in your little ship. Their destiny is in the hand of the Almighty. He's the one that's guiding their ship. Wherever he wants to take them, that's where you're going. Look at verse 27. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. And I'm trying to wind this thing down to the close. Musicians, please come. And the sailors sounded in verse 28 and found it was 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it was 15 fathoms, 29. Fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Look at verse 28. The sailors made the prisoners throw out the tackling of the ship. But now these same sailors found something to fathom or sound out the depth of how deep the water is. You better be careful with sailors. They're not totally honest. You thought they were throwing out everything up in verse 18, but now here they are. They done went back in their little treasure chest, and they got one more help. Let's figure out how deep the water is right here. They still haven't figured out that the ship is not in their control. The ship's in the Almighty, in God's Almighty hand. It's not in their hand, but they think that they got one last little help. Let me go pull this one out of the closet. I'm going to figure out how deep we are. Then I'm going to tell y'all all what to do again. You see, these sailors, they have no sense. I mean, even after the chief prisoner got up and said, hey, an angel of God stood by me on this boat last night, and you're going to go get your rope and see how deep the water is? How dense can you be? You know what the difference is? Paul said, I believed, but the sailors, they didn't believe. Belief is a powerful, powerful thing. And if you believe that you can trust your little rope and test how deep the water is so you know how far you can swim to the shore. You better trust a man who's talking to God, who can send an angel to stand by him in the middle of the night and speak a word of destiny into your life. Verse 29, and when the sailors found out they were in shallow water, they threw anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Verse 30, and the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Sailors are devious and scheming. After all this time, sailors still think they're in control. And they're going to take matters in their own hand. I cannot believe this. And get in their little boat, and they're going to get to shore. Right after the man said, hey, an angel was on this boat with us last night. Verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers. Here's where the soldiers come in. He said, except these abide in the ship, ye. Notice that word. Except these, he was pointing to the sailors, abide in the ship, you soldiers cannot be saved. Y'all see that? That's in the Bible. Here's the point about soldiers and sailors. If a soldier is going to survive, he needs a sailor to stay in the ship. If a soldier is going to survive, he needs a sailor to stay in the ship. If the sailors are going to survive, they got to stay in the ship with the soldiers. A prisoner don't need a sailor, and he don't need a soldier. Both of them could perish. These two had to stay in the ship to save each other. They have to work together. But prisoners, the destiny is already planned, bro. All you got to do is put up with sailors and the soldiers. Don't lose your perspective. Keep trusting God because you got some crazy soldiers. Watch the soldiers. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, the day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For thou shalt not a hair fall from the head of any one of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he broke it, he began to eat. And when they all of good cheer. And then were they all of good cheer. I love this. Paul made sure everybody's happy. It reminds me of Bishop. Is everybody happy tonight? The sign of a good chief prisoner, making sure everybody's eating and everybody's happy. That's all right. You ain't got to run aisles on that one. Prisoners know how to make people happy. They know how to make sure everybody's fed. They make sure everybody, we're in a storm. We're all in this boat together. But I'm a prisoner and I'm going to make sure you're happy as can be. I'm sure I'm going to make sure you're fed. We may have been fasting a long time. Paul said, hey, it's time to stop the fasting. Let's eat and be of good cheer. And prisoners know how to bring unity. Look at verse 37. We were in all in the ship, 216 souls, 276 people were all brought together by a prisoner. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek, verse 39, 40. They took anchors, they committed themselves to the sea, verse 41, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship in the ground, and the ship stuck fast and was broken because of the violence of the wave. Look at verse 42. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. Here's where the soldiers come in. 42, the soldiers took counsel. Be careful when soldiers get together in council. Somebody's going to die. You see, soldiers don't want anybody to escape. They didn't want the sailors to escape. They didn't want the prisoners to escape. Be careful that you don't take the place of a soldier. And especially when soldiers start taking counsel together, their remedy is to swing the sword. Soldiers, just because you have a sword that can cut loose the ship that the sailors are getting away on doesn't give you a license to chop the head off of the prisoners. Which brings me into another point about soldiers. They really don't want anybody to escape. All they want is death and destruction. Here's a note to soldiers. It's important that we all stay in the ship together, but we don't need your sword keeping us all in the boat. Instead of using your sword, soldier, be like Paul and use food and cheer. That keeps us all in the boat. I don't think y'all got that. Soldiers think that they can use their sword and force people to stay in the boat. You know what the prisoner does? The prisoner says, hey, I got some food. I got some good food I'm going to serve you up on a Sunday night. I'm going to bring unity. I'm going to bring you all together right here at the altar. I'm going to make sure you're fed. I'm going to make sure you're happy. Why? Because that is what keeps us all in the boat together. Amen. I'm trying to finish this. Going back to verse 24, the writer tells us what the angel of God told Paul in the middle of that dark, stormy night, saying, fear not, Paul, fear not. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Sailors believe that since they know how to work the ship, that everything and everyone belongs to them. Soldiers believe that since they carry the sword, everything and everybody is subject unto them. But let's be clear about one thing. God has placed all the soldiers, all the sailors, and all the prisoners in the hands of the chief prisoner. Let me say that again. Some of y'all didn't get that. I said, God told Paul, he hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Everybody that's in the ship belongs in one hand. The chief prisoner. He's got the sailor, he's got the soldier, and he's got the prisoner. I don't care what you think your position in his life, you still are in the hand of the chief prisoner. You're still in his hand. And if he deems it, he's going to make sure you're saved. It's his purpose. It's his plan. It's his objective. All them that sail with him are in his hand. Could we stand? Hallelujah. I'm going to open up the altar. I hope this has done somebody some good tonight. I don't know where you're at in life. I know sometimes I struggle at being a prisoner, keeping my mouth shut, don't saying anything, just doing what I'm told. Some of us just want to control everything. I know I do, and I fight against that. Sometimes we want to wield the sword and correct other people. That don't go too far. I just want to be a prisoner. God has destined me here. He brought me here. Here I am. I just want to get to the other side. I just want to please the Lord. I just want to please Him. Does anybody want to be a prisoner? Does anybody want to serve the Lord? You can find a place to pray here. Here at the altar where you're seating. Let God correct our thoughts and our minds. I just want to be a prisoner, God. I don't want to correct anybody. I don't want to make anybody... I don't want to try to make their ship better or worse. Whatever I can do to help somebody is all I want to do, to help somebody get to the other side. Keep me in the hand of the chief prisoner. Keep me in the hand of the Almighty God. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. When my way gets dark, God, when my way gets rough, Jesus, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. Help me lean upon the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Give me strength, God, to stand. Hallelujah. When all around me is tempestuous, when it's rocking, when it's out of control, Jesus, I want to trust in Him who has it all together. I want to trust in the Lord who knows it all, who has all things in the palm of His hand. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody spend a moment talking to Jesus. Help me be a prisoner of the Lord. Help me be a prisoner of the Lord. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Not what I want, God, but what you want, Jesus. Everything I am, everything that I have, God, belongs to you, Jesus. Here I am, Lord, here I am. Make me a willing vessel to be used for your glory, to be used for your glory. Jesus, here I am, Jesus. God, you're the one that has ordered my steps. God, you're the one that has brought me here. God, I don't want to take control out of your hands. I want to leave all controls in the hand of God and in the hand of my pastor. Hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus. I want to be submissive to you, Lord. I want to be submissive. I want the Lord to use me. I want the Lord to use me any way he seems fit. But God, help me to stay in my place, Jesus. Help me stay in my place, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I don't want to wield the sword wrong, God. I don't want to try, God, to scheme and trust my own helps. I want to trust in the Lord, for in him is my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Hallelujah. Talk to God for a little while in the name of Jesus. God, I'm trusting in the Lord with all of my heart and leaning not on my own understanding. I cannot always determine my steps. I'm feeling my way sometimes, God, but I believe I'm holding on to your hand. I'm leaning on your shoulder, God. I'm following after Christ. You have my destiny ordered, Jesus. You have my steps programmed, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Touch the Lord, touch the Lord, touch the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding.